That's where we're going to start at Genesis 1. And I want to share with you guys that it's good to hear the young people sing. And I've titled my message this morning, When God Repeats Something, It Is Important. God said it, it was so, and it was good. And there are times in the Bible when God talks about the goodness, his goodness. And Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he did. There's no doubt in my mind that he did that. And this was not a mistake or an accident. It's not like the evolutionists would have you believe. And since I get to teach junior high science, we did study some on evolution. And that false theory there is just what that is. It's false. And my Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't some accident. And so then in verse 3, God said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said it, and it was so. It wasn't an accident again. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And then in verse 4, God said it was good. At the end of verse 4, it was good. So when God repeats something, it was good. Then in verses 11 through 17, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let there be signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven and to give light upon the earth. God said it was good. And, you know, we got to study that, and some of the young people didn't understand what constituted a year or a week or a day. And it was just the way that God, a year is... I'm not going to embarrass Bella. It's a year is when the earth rotates around the sun, right? One whole year. And so a year. What is a day? Can someone tell me what a day is? A single rotation. And so they're different. There's different things that God did, and it's neat to see how God did those things. And then in verses 20 and 21, it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl, that many fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heavens. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God did all this because it was good. And then verse 24 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so, because God was good. And then verse 26 to 30 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and in every tree in the which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given green herb for meat. And it was so. And then in Genesis, well, let me finish it. In verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and morning was the sixth day. And God keeps repeating, it was good. So everything that God made or gave us was good. So if he keeps repeating it, there's a reason for it. And not only said, was it good, it was very good. You know, when we do things God's way, we have success. And it comes out good because God is in it. And we let God direct us. Have you ever noticed that when you pray, things work out differently than when you just jump out and do them yourself? I do something for my science class. Every day before we start our class, we read a proverb. And I explain to them what that proverb means. And many different things they get to learn from that. The other day we talked about making a dad glad and a mother a heavy-hearted person by the actions of that young person, a child, and the importance of that. But if we let God do it, it will come out good. We get in trouble when we allow me, myself, or I to direct us, and we leave God out of the picture. We're very good at that, and we say, well, that's not always true, Mr. Mendez. Well, and it may not always be true for you, because you may get up in the morning, and before you leave home, you may stop and read God's directions for the day. What will God have me to do? I've taken a real desire in my last maybe 3 years of reading my devotions of trying to just pick out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words, no more than a sentence, out of what I read that morning to focus on. Because I, you know, you read a whole chapter and there's a lot of things in it, but if you will focus on one thing, and it may be the 20th time you read that chapter in your lifetime, but that time something stuck out and stuck with you, something that's going to help me through that day. Something I didn't need 10 years ago, but I'm going to need it today. And God puts that in my heart. And so when we say we don't direct ourselves, before you came to church this morning, did you read his word? And I get to read in Job this month. And as I was reading this morning about God's goodness. And yes, Job went through some trials. He went through some hard times. But he knew where his goodness was coming from. And he knew that at the end of the day, that he was going to be okay. We are good at trying to do things our own way. And then we make exceptions to please us or our schedules. We make excuses or reasons why things ought to be done the way they're done in our lives. Because that's what our schedule allows. Or that's what my abilities allow me to do. I can only do X amount because this is what my abilities are. We never turn to God and say, God, I need extra power today. Or God, I need some extra strength today. And I know that that's something that our teachers do a lot of. They pray for strength. We're not as young as we used to be. And the kids have not gotten, they seem that as they get a grade older, they get faster and stronger and harder to keep up with. And so we need to stay up with them. And then as we continue in Genesis, and in chapter 3, it teaches us what happens when we don't ask God and listen to ourselves and allow Satan to direct and not God. And Satan will direct your life whether you want him to or not. He will jump in there and he will give you ideas. It's a favorite subject in my Sunday school class when I tell my kids, don't let the devil use you in my class. And they'll start in with something, or they'll start saying something or doing something. And I tell them, that's not of God. And this morning as we were reading out of the Bible, there was some interruptions. And I just had to stop and say, no, this is God's word we're reading, and you don't get to interrupt. Have some reverence towards God's word. And when they've seen that, they stopped and they realized, they started listening. Because when they started the interruption, they must not have been listening that I was reading out of the Bible. They must have just thought I was talking. And it's okay to interrupt Mr. Mendez. It's not okay to interrupt God's word. And we do it to teach young people what God's word says. And I always tell my young people it's important to know God's word, apply it in your heart. And in chapter 3, we see that, because when Satan is discussing with Eve, Eve was not in on her Bible. She did not know what the Bible said. Because if you look at Genesis 2:17, it says, but of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's what God had told her. Don't eat of that fruit. But when Satan was talking to her, that's not what she told Satan. And she got in a discussion with Satan. Satan is not a person who does not know his Bible. He knows his Bible very well. And, you know, it's kind of like going out. We like to say, this is my sword. And this morning we were talking about David and Goliath, and how David told King Saul, I can't wear your armor because I've not tried it. I've not tested it. So I'm just going to go out with what God gave me, which was a sling. But Satan is very well versed in his Bible. And we're going to go out and do battle with him with our Bible, but we've never sharpened it. In fact, it looks really, really good because it's not open very often. We're gonna use something to fight Satan with that we don't even know how to operate. Could be dangerous. And so Genesis 3 is a discussion that Eve has with Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. See, he knew his Bible. That's exactly what God had said. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not even eat of it, neither shall thou touch it, lest ye die. Is that what God said to her? He never told her anything about touching it. She just thought she would add something to it because she was going to fool Satan. Satan knew that he had her then. She didn't even know what she was talking about. And how often do we start our day not knowing what we're talking about? Going to go out there and face that tough world and not have a clue what God wants us to do that day. Or not even caring what God wants us to do that day. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And I think sometimes we think we know the difference between good and evil. I think we fool ourselves because we want to go on what we feel is good or what we feel is wrong or what's unjust, what is unjust. You know, I hear a lot of people say, it's just not fair. Well, I don't know if you say that or not, but do you not realize that when you say that, you're telling God, God, you're not fair? Because he's in control? What's there to be fair about? Does he owe you anything? Do you not owe him everything? You didn't die for him. He died for you. He's giving you eternal life. You're not giving him anything. It's kind of, again, like the devil when he stood up. He said, I'll give you the whole earth if you'll worship me. He's not giving him anything. He already has it. If only Eve had known her Bible, if only Rosendo had known his Bible when he was 18 years old or 15 years old or 16 years old and understood that when John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, that meant him. And that meant he loved him so much that he died for his sin and would have accepted Christ as his Savior. What difference would it have made in my life? Or at 12 years old, or at 9 years old, or at 8 years old. What a difference it made if I understood that God has things for me in my life and that I'm not going to get them unless I follow him and trust him for that next thing rather than decide I can do this on my own. And young people, adults, are you stuck in a place in your life because you decided this is as far as I want to grow? Or do I want to go forward? When God says, maybe you ought to take on that ministry so you have to learn. Maybe you ought to teach that Sunday school class so that you can learn your Bible lessons. You know, Mrs. Mendez told me she was scared to death. This was 37, 38 years ago. Came home and she was scared to death. She says, they asked me to teach 4- and 5-year-olds. And I don't know any Bible stories. So they gave her a lesson book and she started learning her Bible stories. And not only were they a blessing to the children, they were a blessing to her. She had never heard of David. Catholic Church doesn't teach you about David. They don't teach you about Samuel. They don't teach you about Esther. And the wisdom that's in those books and how she could apply them in her life and how she could grow. Not only could she teach these young people these many things that God had done in these other people's lives, but what they're going to do in her life. And you know, she still hasn't learned it all. 38 years later, she still, when she tells them, in junior church, when she's teaching that lesson, she does not take it for granted. She goes, that week that she's going to teach junior church, she's studying that lesson. She may have given it 100 times, but what else is God going to teach me? Because if you've read your Bible 100 times, when you read it 101, you're going to get something out of it. I know I've read Proverbs bunches of time. But then there's always a time when I read in that one verse, TikTok says, hey, you missed this. And it's there for me. Will you let God instruct you that way? Do you know your Bible? Or are you willing to ad lib against Satan who knows his Bible and allow him to tempt you? Because he will. Satan will tempt you. He will use the Bible against you. He will just change it a little bit, or he'll let you change it a little bit. That's a great danger of using a different Bible. I enjoy the King James Version of the Bible. I know that that's the true word of God. I don't want to know what the New King James Version says. I really don't. I don't want to know what the... What, there's so many Bibles out there, and when people give them to me, when someone gives me some and they give me quote a Bible verse, first thing I do is I go find out if that's a King James version of it. And if it's not, then I quit reading that person's stuff. It's not for me. I don't care how good they are. I don't care what they know. They're not going to use the truth, then somewhere along the line, they're going to slip in a lie. That's just how Satan works. Have you asked God today what he would have you to do, or do you think you have it under control? Have you asked God, God, how am I going to serve today? Just today. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about taking on a ministry. How are you going to serve him today? Is there someone you're going to put in my life today? I'm going to church this morning, and I see someone go forward. Is that the person you want me to go up there and pray with? Is that the person you want me to see if they need the Lord? Or are you comfortable sitting in your seat? Or are you saying, Lord, if you want me to go forward and get my heart right, I thought my heart was right. Well, you know, it's funny because it seems like the higher you get up in the church, the harder it is for you to come forward. And I have to battle that a lot myself. What are other people going to think of me? I'm a deacon. Why do I need to go forward? But I'm also a sinner. And I'm no different than any of you. Yes, I have to read my Bible. I have to stay on top of it. Because if I don't, Satan will tear me up. You know, young people ask me crazy questions all the time because they want to know if you're real. See, teenagers don't want fakes, and they can tell when you're a fake. They really can. They see right through you. You know what Adam and Eve did in the garden affected mankind? I don't know what it would have been like if they hadn't sinned. I think if Eve would have told them that day, well, you know, I'm not really interested. Not buying what you're selling. Don't bother me. I don't know. And you know, I've had some friends accuse me of sometimes, you know, you just don't know what the Bible says. And I said, well, maybe I don't need to know that part of it. Maybe I can be ignorant of that part and still do what I need to do. Maybe I don't have to understand it like you do. And I know I have friends that went over to Calvinism. And if you ever studied anything about Calvinism, Calvinism is a religion of the intelligent. And they like to think of it as, we know it all. We've discovered all the little secrets in the Bible. And we're so smart that we figured it out. And you need to come and join us. And so this young man had married this lady. And I asked him about it. I said, now that you're going over Calvinism, what are you going to do with her? And he said, what do you mean? I said, she reads at a sixth grade level. I've never known her to be very smart. What are you going to do with her? He said, well, she'll be okay. She'll just hang around. She won't understand any of it, but she'll be okay. She won't understand God? I thought God made it simple for everybody. He did. He really did. And nothing hard about for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What's so hard about that? Do you know what you do also affects others? You may not think it affects others, but it does. Your unwillingness to work in the church affects others. Your unwillingness to love everyone affects others. The way you talk to people affects others. Your attendance at church affects others. I don't think there's a greater tool that Satan uses to fight the church than discouragement. Nothing more discouraging to a pastor when people won't serve. Nothing more discouraging to a pastor when people won't be faithful to the services. You know, on Wednesday nights when he wants people to pray and the church is empty, that's when this job, his job, becomes really difficult, is when those people that he's praying for come up to him on that Sunday morning and say, and they pick the worst times, right before surgery, right before he's going to preach, you know, Pastor, I think we're going to quit going to church and walk out the door. No reason. You're just too hard in your preaching. Not, you know, you're set in this King James Bible thing. You're set in the truth. Can we sing something that's more contemporary, something that's more modern, and something that's easier to listen to? If you want that, go to a church that has 5,000 members. That's why they have 5,000 members. You want to hear the truth? Come to Vision Baptist Church. You want to sing the songs that are traditional, the ones that are God-pleasing? Come to Vision Baptist Church. I'm not going to name other churches, but you can go to other churches. God made you for a reason. God put you here for a reason. It is no mistake that you're here this morning. It is no mistake that you found Vision Baptist Church. It wasn't an accident. But the decision is, what do you do with that? What do you do with where God placed you? And how are you going to grow? The growth is yours. You know, are you going to feed yourself or you're not going to feed yourself? It's kind of like a bodybuilder. Funny story, I had a nephew that was playing high school football. And he was probably around 5'10", 5'11", probably around 190 pounds. And they asked him to play tackle the next year, high school football. And that's not terribly small for a tackle in high school football. It is when you reach college. So he told me, he said, Theo, I want you to help me train next year, this summer, so I can get ready for school. I said, okay, you know, I'll show you how to run and how to lift weights and all that. He says, okay. I said, so what are some of your goals? He said, well, next year when I start football practice, I want to be 6'5", and I want to weigh 350 pounds. And I want to be able to lift 400 pounds, and I want to be able to do this, and I want to be able to run as fast as you can. And in fact, outrun you. I says, well, I could probably help you with the outrunning me and 350 pounds. I can't help you with the 6'5". I said, I can't give you 7 inches of growth in over the summer. And you're going to have to work at it. But he said, well, what do you mean I have to work at it? I says, you got to get up in the morning before you go to school and go run. I says, you got to start lifting weights in the morning. And then when you get home at night, you lift a different regimen of weights. So you're lifting morning and night, different regimens. You're running in the morning, you're running at night. One in the morning for speed, one in the evening for endurance. And he said, well, I don't want to do all that. I just want to be 6'5", 350, and really fast and strong. I said, why do I want to put all this work into it? And unfortunately, there are Christians, sometimes that's us. God, I want to be real spiritual. I want to be real close to you. But I don't want to go to church every week. I surely don't want to serve in a ministry where you have a lot of kids that are rough and tough on a bus. I really don't want a ministry of young people who have runny noses and are all over me. I really don't want a ministry with teens who are always obnoxious and crazy talking and loud, and they want to tell me about all kind of stuff. I really don't want to work with adults who know everything. So, well, that kind of takes care of all the ministries, doesn't it? Oh, I don't want to clean floors or vacuum because that's really hard on my back, so I really don't want to do any of that. But I want to be close to you and I want to serve you. But as long as I don't do any of that, I'll be okay. I want to be 6'5", 350, and as fast as can be. Strong, with all the endurance in the world. Not going to happen. You're going to have to put some into it. You want to be a Christian that pleases God? Better put some effort into it. You better get there. You better get close to him. You better talk to him. So do you know who God really is? He's the creator. He is holy. He is sinless. You know, they sang that, why do I bow to Jesus? One day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how many guns you have. I don't care how many people you've killed. I don't care what you've done. You will bow and you will kneel before the King of Kings. No doubt in my mind. He said that's going to happen. I believe him. So are you going to do it because you want to? Or are you going to do it because you fear him? You know, we talked about David and Goliath. And, you know, I kind of like to visualize how things really were. Here was Goliath on this mountain. Here was David over here. Goliath was yelling across the valley. You never read that Goliath ran down to kill David. You read that David ran down to kill Goliath. There was a reason for it. I really think that when Goliath was watching David, he was saying, what does he know that I don't know? What's that little boy got that I'm not sure of here? Yeah, I'm big and I'm tough. I kind of figured out the measurements. He was like 9'6", 450 pounds. So if I figured David was young and ruddy, he was maybe 120 pounds, maybe 5'4". And he ran to meet the giant. The giant never says, well, you know what? I'm just going to go down there, and I'm going to run down there and kick him like a football when I get down by the valley. He stayed right where he was at. He never ran down there. All those tough guys with Goliath, you know, all those mean guys that were standing there saying, yeah, 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 yeah. As soon as his head came off, no one ran to go get David and said, you know, you killed my leader, now I'm going to kill you. You know what they did? They took off in the other direction. And I think that's what happens to us as Christians. As long as everything is going good, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, things go tough in our life, we turn and we run. Because we never set ourselves down and said, God, I'm going to serve you at whatever cost that it may be. And we turn and we run. In order to really know him, you must trust him. I told the kids that there was a difference between having faith and trusting. And I asked them, why do you think that David was able to do what he did? And that's not only because he had faith, but he also trusted him. I says, I have faith that that's a chair you guys are sitting in. You have trust because you sat on it. You got to have them both. You got to know it. And you got to use it. You got to know God, and then you got to say, how are you going to use me? There's going to be a lot of people that show up in heaven and says, I knew you. And he says, yes, you did. Come on in. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to come in humbly, and he's going to say, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. And that's going to be the difference. Where do you stand at with him on that? You must trust him and believe in the finished work on Calvary. I think that everyone in this room, if I know, I trust is saved and knows that they're going to heaven and understand that there's only one way to heaven and Jesus Christ is the way. There is no side gate. There is no back road. I told people, someone asked me, is there going to be a lot of people in heaven? And I said, well, God said, broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to heaven. I don't think the road to heaven was very wide. I think there's not going to be as many people as you think in heaven as you may imagine. There's going to be a lot of people in hell because the way there is wider. We can have hope in a God who is never changing and who loves you. So I ask you, do you know your Jesus? Do you know your God? Are you willing to trust him? You have faith in him. Are you willing to say, whatever you have for me, Lord, that's what I want to do. I don't want to be like Eve and change the Bible because I don't know any better. I want to learn your word. I want to know it. When you, When I get pushed in the corner with by Satan, I want to be able to stand in the corner and say, ah, you said, but God said, and I believe God. And he'll tell you, what will he argue with you against? Because he knows when you know God's way. So do it God's way, and it will be good. Follow the path of surrender to God, and you will be blessed. You know, I found this out about the Bible. When it tells you something, the opposite is also true. Don't do it God's way, and it won't be good. Don't follow the path of surrender, and you're not going to be blessed. Oh, you may get the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and you may get rain because someone next to you is getting blessed. You may get a blessing that way, but you won't get blessed. You won't be the one providing blessings. You won't be the one that one day will be able to say, hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So with every head bowed and every eye closed,